Welcome to Chattahoochee Creek. This is the first message that I am to preach here at Chattahoochee Creek. We might call this Chattahoochee Creek or Fish Lake Valley Missionary Baptist Mission. We are having a time. This is our backyard. The creek, the sounds you hear in the background are Chattahoochee Creek talking, nature sounds. This is one of the most beautiful places in the world to me. I grew up here. We're going to talk about love tonight, a love story. A love story. We're going to start out in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Wives, be subject, be submissive, and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord, or as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior of his body. The church is his body. As the church is subject to Christ, but so let the wives be subject in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, so they might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle, any such things, that she might be holy and faultless. Even so, husbands should love their wives as being, in a sense, their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, his own body. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it as Christ does the church, because we are members, parts of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is the mystery. This mystery is very great. But I speak concerning the relationship of Christ and the church. However, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as being, in a sense, his own very self, and let his wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, and venerates and esteems him, that she defers to him and praises him and loves and admires him exceedingly. Now, that's a big order. I'm going to tell you, that is a large order. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We're talking about a love story. The book of Romans is God's love story with humanity. Now here, in verse number 3, it says, if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I may glorify but not love God, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long, is patient and kind, and love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited and arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude and unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it and pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up on anything and everything that comes its way. It is ever ready to believe the best in every person. Its hopes are faithless and flawless. Under all circumstances, it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Love never fades out or becomes obsolete and comes to an end. For as prophecy, that is the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and passed away. For it will be fulfilled and passed away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. It says they will cease for themselves. As for knowledge, it will pass away. That is, it will lose its value and be superseded by truth. All these things, it says in verse number 12. For we know our looking in a mirror, darkly, dim, blurred mirror reflection. When the perfect thing comes, we shall see it face to face and know in part and perfectly, but when that which shall come, we will know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. And so faith and hope and love abide. Faith, conviction, belief, and respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, hope and joyful, confident, expecting of eternal salvation, love and true affection for God, and man growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these things is love. Now let's go back to a book in the Old Testament that is a very unusual book. It's called the Song of Solomon. It's called the Song of Songs. The Song of Songs. The Song of Songs. That's how it begins, and that's how they usually named the Old Testament books. The Song of Songs, the most excellent of them, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now, this is talking about a love story. This is a love story. A beautiful love story. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, she cries. Then, realizing that Solomon has arrived and has heard her speech, turning to him, she adds, "For your love is better than wine." And she continues, "The odor of your ointments is fragrance. Your name is like perfume poured out before. Therefore, do the maidens love you? Draw me, we will run after you. The king brings me into his apartments. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will recall when we were favored with you. Your love is more fragrant than wine. The upright are not offended at your choice, but sincerely love you. I am so black. I've worked out in the sun so long. I'm not white, but I am black. You are lovely and pleasant. You, O daughters of Jerusalem, I am as dark as the tents of a Bedouin tribe, Kedar, like the bountiful or beautiful curtains of Solomon. Please do not look at me," she said, "for I am swarthy. I have worked out in the sun, and has left this mark upon me. My stepbrothers were angry with me, and they made me keeper of the vineyards, but my vineyard, my complexion, I have not kept." Now she is addressing her shepherd. She said, "Tell me, O you whom my soul loves, where do you pasture your flock? Where do you lie down at noon? Or why should I, as I think of you, be veiled one straying beside the flocks of your companions? If you do not know where your lover is, O you fairest among women, run along and follow the tracks of the flock, and amuse yourself by pasturing your kids beside the shepherd's tents. O my love," he said to her, "you remind me of my favorite mare in my favorite chariot's fans. Your cheeks are comely, with ornaments around your neck, with strings of jewels. We will make you chains and ornaments of gold and studded with silver. I'm going to lavish you with great gifts. O my beloved shepherd is to me a cluster of henna flowers in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. You have dove's eyes." She cried, "Behold, you are beautiful, my beloved. Yes, delightful. Our arbor, our couch are green and leafy. The beams of our house are cedars, and our rafters and panels are cypress of pines." And she said, "I am only a little rose, an autumn crocus of the plain of Sharon." This is a love story. Solomon wrote this love story. And it's a story of true love. This story is a story of Christ and His church. This is the way Christ loved His church. We looked in the New Testament. The New Testament explains this Old Testament. "Or a humble lily of the valleys that grows into deep and difficult places. But Solomon replied, as a lily among the thorns, so are you, my love, among the daughters. As an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons," cried the girl. "Under his shadow I delighted to sit, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. For love waved as a as a protecting and comforting banner over my head when I was near him. Sustain me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am sick with love. I am lovesick. I can feel his left hand under my head, and his right hand embrace me. And he said, I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and the hinds of the field, which are free to follow their own instincts, that you do not stir up or awaken my love until he pleases. The voice of my beloved shepherd. Behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains and bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle of a young hart. Behold, he stands behind the wall of our house. He looks in through the windows. He glances through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of the birds is come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth and ripens her figs, and the vines are blossoms. They give forth their fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one. Come away. Come away. So I went with him, and when we were climbing the rocky steeps up the hillside, my beloved shepherd said to me, O my dove, in the seclusion of the clefts and the solid rocks, in the sheltered and secret place of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. My heart was touched, and I fervently sang to him my desire, and take this little breeze is kind of blowing my pages around, as you can see. My heart is touched and fervently saying my desire. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, the spoil of vineyards of our love. For our vineyards are in blossom. And she said distinctly, my beloved is mine, and I am his. And he pastures his flocks among the lilies. Then lovingly addressing her absent shepherd, she cried, until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, return hastily, O my beloved, and be like a gazelle and a young hart as you cover the mountains which separate us. In the night I dreamed I sought for the one whom I love. She said, I looked for him, but could not find him. So I decided to go out into the city and the streets and the broadways and seek him. So I sought him, and I could not find him. The watchmen who go out in the city found me, to whom I said, did you see him whom my soul desires? And I had gone but a little way past them, and I found him whom my soul desires. And I beheld him, and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her who conceived me. She wanted to love him and give herself to him. That's the way the bride of Christ should do to the Lord. Want to love him and give herself to him. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and by the hinds of the field, that you stir up not or awaken my love until he pleases. Who or what is this, she asked, that comes gliding out of the wilderness like the stately pillars of smoke and perfumed with myrrh and frankincense and with all the powders and the merchants? And someone answered, behold, it is a traveling litter, the bridal car of Solomon. 60 mighty men are about it, of the mighty men of Israel. And they all handle the sword, and who are expert in war, and every man has his sword upon his thigh, that fear not excited in the night. King Solomon made himself a car, a carriage, or a palanquin of state and cedar wood of Lebanon. He made his post of silver, its back of gold, its seat of purple, inside of it, being lovely and intricately wrought in needlework by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, you, O daughters of Zion, and gaze upon King Solomon, wearing the crown which his mother Bathsheba crowned him with on the day of his wedding, on the day of his gladness of his heart. How fair you are, my love, he said. How fair! Your eyes behind your veil remind me of those of a dove. Your hair makes me think of the black, wavy fleece of the flock of the Arabian goats, which one sees trailing down Mount Gilead, beyond the Jordan, in the frontiers of the desert. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes, which have come up out of washing, of which there are all in pairs, and none, not one, is missing. Your lips are like a thread of scarlet, and mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like halves of a pomegranate behind your veil. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an arsenal, whereupon having a thousand bucklers, all of them shields of warriors. Your two breasts are like two fawns, they twins of a gazelle that feed among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadow flee away, in my thoughts I will get me to the mountains of myrrh and the hill of frankincense, to whom my soul adores and loves and cherishes. He explained, O my love, how beautiful you are. There is no flaw in you. Come away with me from Lebanon, my promised bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Depart from the top of Amana, from the peak of Sinar and Hermon, and from the lion's dens and from the mountains of the leopards. You have ravished my heart and given me courage, my sister, my promised bride. You have ravished my heart and given the courage with one look from your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your ornaments than all the spices. Your lips, oh my promised one, my bride, drop honey as a honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the odor of your garments is like the odor of Lebanon. A garden enclosed and buried, my sister, my promised bride, sprang up and shut out all the fountain, sealed. Your shoots are in the orchards of pomegranates, are a paradise of precious fruit, henna and spikenard and plants, spikenard and saffron and calamus and cinnamon, and all the trees of frankincense. Incense and myrrh and aloes and with all the chief spices, your fountain springing up in a garden well of living waters and flowing streams from Lebanon. Your call to me, my garden, she said. Oh, I pray the cold north wind and the soft south wind blow upon my garden, and its spices might and flow out abundance, for in whom my soul loves and delights. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his choicest fruits. I am coming to the garden, my sister, my promised bride. I have gathered the richest perfumes and spices. I have eaten my honeycomb and my honey. I have drunk my wine and my milk. Eat, O friends, of my wine and my milk. Eat, O feasts, O revelers, revelers in the palace. You can never make my love disloyal to me. Drink, yes, drink abundantly of the love, O precious one. For now I know you are mine. Irrevocably mine, with his confident words still thrilling her being, through the lattice she saw her shepherd turn away and pass into the night. I went to sleep, but my heart stayed awake. I dreamed that I heard his voice and beloved as he knocked at the door of my mother's cottage, and opened wide to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my spotless one, he said, for I am wet with a heavy night dew. My hair is covered with it. Be weary from the day in the vineyards. I have already sought my rest. I have put off my garment, and I could have put it on. I have washed my feet, and how could I again soil them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my heart was moved for him. I rose up and opened to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with liquid myrrh, which he had left upon the handles of the bolt. I opened my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and withdrawn himself and was gone, and my soul went forth after him, and he spoke, but it failed me, and now he's gone, and I sought him, but I could not find him, and I called to him, and he gave me no answer, and the watchmen that went about the city found me, and they struck me, and they wounded me, the keepers of the walls took my veil and my mantle from me. I charge you, O daughter of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. I am sick with love. I am love sick for him. What is your beloved more another beloved? O, you fairest among women, taunted the ladies, what is your beloved more than another beloved, that you should give us such a charge? And she said, my beloved is fair and ruddy and chief among 10,000. His head is precious as the most fine gold, and his locks are curling and brushy and black as raven. His eyes are doves beside the water brooks, and bathed in milk and fitly set. His cheeks are a bed of spice and balsam, and his banks of sweet herbs yielding fragrance. His lips are like blood-red anemones, or lilies distilling liquid, sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with nails of beryl and topaz. Is a figure of bright ivory overlaid with veins of sapphire. His legs are strong and steady, and pillars of marble upon bases of fine gold. His appearance is like a Lebanon, excellent, stately, and majestic cedars. His voice and speeches are exceedingly sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. The whole of him delights and is precious. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. This is a beautiful love story. Where is your beloved gone, O you fairest among women? Again, the ladies showed their interest in the remarkable person whom the Shulamite had championed with such an instinted praise. They, too, wanted to know him, they insisted. Where is your beloved hiding self? We would seek to be with him. And she replied, "My beloved has gone down to the garden, to the beds of the spices, to feed the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's garden, and my beloved is mine, and he feeds among the lilies which grow there." And he said, "You are my beautiful Tirzah, capital of northern Israel's first king, my love, and as comely as Jerusalem, but you are as terrible as a banner of hosts. Turn away your flashing eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Your hair is like a flock of goats that trail down Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of ewes coming from their washing, each paired with not one missing. Your cheeks are like halves of pomegranate behind your veil. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number, but my dove is undefiled, the perfect one, and stands alone above them. She is the only one of her mother. She is a choice one who bore her. The daughters saw her and called her blessed and happy, yes, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. The ladies asked, who is this who looks forth as a dawn, fair as a moon and clear as the sun and terrible as a bannered host? And the Shulamite replied, I went down into the nut orchard one day to look at the green plants of the valley to see whether the grapevine had budded and the pomegranates were in flower. Before I was aware of what was happening, my desire is to roam about had brought me into the area of the princes of the people and the king's retinue. I began to flee, but they called to me, Return, O Shulamite. Return, that we may look upon you, I replied. What is there for you to see in the poor little Shulamite? And they answered, Upon a dance, upon two armies, a dance of Mahanan. Then her companions began to noticing and commenting on the attractiveness of her person. How beautiful are your feet in sandals, queenly maiden. Your rounded limbs are like jewel chains, the work of a master hand. Your body is like a round goblet in which no mixed wine is wanting. Your abdomen is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawns, the twins of the gazelle. Your neck is like the tower of ivory. Your eyes are the pools of Heshbon, by the garden of Bath Rabbaim. Your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon, which looks toward Damascus. Your head crowns you like the Mount Carmel, and the hair of your head is like purple. Then seeing the king watching, the girl was absorbed in admiration, and speaker added, The king is held captive by your beauty. The king came forth saying, How fair and how pleasant you are, O love, for delights. This is your statue, is like a palm tree. Remember, Tamar means palm tree. Your bosom, its clusters of dates, and declared the king, I resolve I will climb the palm tree, and I will grasp its branches, and let your breast be as clusters of the grapevine, and the scent of your breath like apples, and your kisses like the best of wine that goes down smoothly and sweetly, and my beloved shepherd interpreted Shulamite kisses gladly over his lips while he sleeps. She proudly said, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. And she said, Come, my beloved, and let us go forth in the field, and let us lodge in the village, and let us go out early in the vineyards, and see whether the vines have budded, and grape blossoms have opened, and the pomegranates are in bloom, and there I will give you my love. The mandrakes gave forth fragrance. The mandrakes are aphrodisiacs. And over doors are all the manner of choicest fruits, new and old, which I have laid upon you, O my beloved. Looking forward to the shepherd's herd's arrival, the eager girl pictures their meeting and says, Oh, that you were as my brother, who nursed from the breast of my mother, when I should find you, I would kiss you, yes, and none would despise me for it. I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother, and would instruct me, and I will cause you to drink of spiced wine and of the juice of pomegranates. Oh, that his left hand were under my head, and his right hand were embracing me and touching me. I adjure you, O daughter of Jerusalem, not ever attempt to stir my love until he pleases. Who is this who comes up from the wilderness leaning upon a beloved? Under the apple tree I awakened you, and there your mother gave you birth, and there she was in travel who bore you. Set me a seal upon your heart and seal upon your arm, for your love is strong as death, and the jealousy is hard and cruel as Sheol. It flashes and flashes of fire and most vehement flame, and a very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can flood drown it. For a man would offer all the goods of his house for love. He would offer all the goods of his house for love. He would be utterly scorned and despised. You cannot buy love. Love comes from inside. Gathered with the family and the wedding guests in her mother's cottage, the bride said to her stepbrothers, When I was a little girl, you said, We have a little sister and she has no breast. What shall we do with our sister on the day that she is spoken for in marriage? If she is a wall, a discreet and womanly, she will build upon her terrace a dowry silver. But she in the door, and behold, a flirtation, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. Well, I am a wall with battlements, and my breasts are like the towers of it. Then was I the king's eyes, one to be respected and allowed to find peace. Solomon had a vineyard, and Baal Hamon. He rented out the vineyard to keepers, and every one of the fruit of it was to bring him 1,000 pieces of silver. O Solomon, can you and your thousands, those who tend the fruit of it, 100? But my vineyard, which is mine with all its radiant joy, is before me. O you who dwell in the gardens, your companions have been listening to your voice. How cause me to bear it? Joyfully and radiant bride turned to him, and the one altogether lovely, and the chief among 10,000 to her soul. And with unconcealed eagerness to begin her life of sweet companionship with him, she answered, Make haste, my beloved, come quickly, like a gazelle, like a lionheart, and take me to our waiting room upon the mountains of spices. That is a love story. The Jewish people did not want young people to read that. It was too sexually explicit. It is the story of our Savior and His love for His bride. And at this time and period in the world, we have a chance to be part of that bride if we love our Lord like He loved us. If we love our Lord like He loved us, we will be His. Father, thank You for this word that we had today. Father, help this go out all over the world. And help it to honor and glorify You in every way. Help people to give their lives to You and to love You like You have loved us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.